I'll ask that you remain standing for our scriptural lesson for the sermon, a single verse taken from our Old Testament lesson today, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Thus far the reading of God's Word. This is the Word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, bore out our ears so that we may hear Your voice, Your Word. And by Your Holy Spirit, enable us to direct our steps unto Your pleasure. We ask this because we bear Your name and we long to do so honorably, praying in the name of Jesus. And all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, today, as you well know, is the first Sunday of Advent, and as my church-wide email indicated, we're taking a break from our sermon series in 1 Corinthians, and as we've done over the past years, I'd like to offer a series of Advent sermons, commonly bumping into Christmas, maybe even going up into Epiphany. This year, I will be offering simple meditations. I'm going to call them Advent meditations. Today, the subject of the Advent meditation, sometimes it's on a theme or a thing that you might find around you or will find in the Bible. Today's subject happens to be gifts. Gifts. Now, immediately when you say gift or you're thinking about gifts, you can say, wow, that's going to be of great interest to the children. The children are going to be, gifts? And I think all of the children of God, on one level or another, are interested in gifts. So, this is offered today for the interest of children of all ages, as well as to inform children of all ages, but especially for the parents. The giving and the receiving of gifts is surrounded by, well, is granted quite a bit of attention these days. Quite a bit of attention these days. You'll hear that this is the season of gift giving. You'll hear this. Amazon will bombard your inbox with ideas based upon your shopping history, even somehow taking a peek into wish lists. How do they know? Well, you told them. You told them. You're going to hear talk of doorbusters. Door busters. You will actually have door knockers or things that hang on door knobs. You will hear of sales that are present and that you should not ever miss. Don't miss the sales. You're going to hear of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. For the church, here we are in Advent. The church year begins with Advent. This is the beginning of the church year, and Advent is comprised of the four Sundays before Christmas Day. Advent, the four Sundays before Christmas Day. Then we enter into what's called the Christmas season, right up to Epiphany, and from Christmas to Epiphany, that's called the 12 days of Christmas of song interest. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. And you can fill in the blank. So it's a gift-giving song. And each year right around Christmas, it should be more like around Epiphany, January 6th, we find how much those gifts would cost. So each year the price fluctuates. A partridge in a pear tree would cost about this much. A golden, you get the idea. Well, when we think of gifts, and right now you're thinking of gifts, I want to know this. So here's my question. Do you think of gifts in a biblical way? Are you biblically informed when it comes to your thinking of gifts? And by the way, this has nothing to... There are issues with a land of abundance like ours, but gifts are also present, as we shall see, in lands of famine. Lands of famine. So we can't just simply reduce this down, do some kind of a juicer, squeezer, and just say, this is an American issue. It's not. Some of the poorest lands ever known to humanity we read about in the Bible. So when I ask you whether or not your thinking of gifts is biblically informed or biblically guided, I'm actually asking you some biblical questions. I want to know about your giftology, whether or not God's Word is shaping the way you're thinking about gifts. Gifts are exciting. Gifts are exciting. You don't need to even ask about this. I didn't even need to say it, in a sense. Just watch the children. It's exciting. Yeah, I see the faces of the children now. Well, is that for me? No. Gifts are exciting. Just see them. But what is it about it? As I think back into the blessed childhood that I have had, sometimes there was actually a Christmas with no gifts. But I received great gifts those years. Gifts of being with my family and my church family. I remember a Christmas where there was one gift given, and it was wrapped, and it was available for me. What is it about gift-giving that captures our attention and causes the children, even, or all the children of God, to sit up and take notice? Take these out. Yeah. Thinking, that was it? Yeah, let's close in prayer. There is much that is unknown about the gift itself, especially if it's wrapped. What's in there? Unless, of course, you're one of those searchers and shakers, which I hope you're not, going through the house, searching, shaking, and then some people know what it is. Oh, it's Chinese checkers. You know, it's loud, and everybody wakes everyone. But usually the gift is rather unknown. There's something unknown and therefore unexpected about the gift. I didn't expect that. A gift, then, is often a surprise. Gifts are, unless there's something very odd going on, gifts are always communal. There's at least one other giving a gift to another, or there are others giving a gift to others. There's something communal about a gift. Why do we give gifts, though? Why would we do such a thing? By the way, gifts, even poor ones, if you dare utter such a phrase, at least show some level of thoughtfulness. Yes, gifts can be abused. They commonly are, even in our land, or perhaps especially. As Christians, it's important that we think Christianly about gifts, receiving and giving. So, what about gifts? Today, we are surrounded by lists when it comes to gifts. It seems as if this is the time of year, more than any other, that is a time of lists as well as gifts. There are gift lists and wish lists and shopping lists. Some people make Christmas lists, and I've even heard some singing about someone making a list and checking it twice. I don't know what that has to do with anything. It seems as if lists are part of our daily diet from Thanksgiving through Christmas and all the way up into the ever-recycling, ever-resurfacing New Year's list of resolutions. Recently, I came across a list of 13 things to never discuss at Thanksgiving dinner. Don't ever talk about these things at Thanksgiving dinner. You'll ruin the dinner. And oddly enough, one of them was, don't ever talk about Christopher Columbus and the founding of America. And of course, religion. But we learned last week that you can't even discuss gratitude apart from religion and the Word of God. Interesting. In the past, I have shared with you the five from Wired.com and the Geek Dad portion. A number of years ago, they listed the five best gifts of all time. The five best gifts of all time for Geek Dad. So Geek Dad's looking at this going, what are the five best gifts? And I can relate to a lot of these things. I'm just going to recite that list here again. Number one was a stick. Best gift of all time, a stick, a box, string, a cardboard tube, or dirt. That was the five best gifts of all time. On we go. This is a season of lists, and they're related to gifts. So you're going to find all kinds of suggestions. Did you think about this? And what about this? Have you thought about it biblically? Well, there are also reactions at this time of year. There are differing reactions in the body of Christ to gifts and gift giving. Even here, there's going to be differing reactions. Probably not this extreme. I'm going to give you some extremes. So among Christians, this time of year, and by the way, when Christians have differing reactions to gifts, they usually present their reactions as part of their discipleship. I'm following Christ in this. I've seen abuses, therefore I think this way about gifts. Well, here are the two extreme reactions to gifts. Some people are very receptive. There's great joy in seeing gifts, in the giving, and in the receiving of gifts. And some people are so filled with joy. I've seen some of the greatest gift givers around where they have great joy in just giving. And it's as if, well, the word of life truly is living. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Our Lord said that. There is to be this expectation of giving. And some people, especially Christians, we have this great joy in seeing gifts back and forth. Other people almost go in the exact opposite direction, but I'm going to be modest. They have great reservations about gift giving. They're not sure about it. Some even reject it altogether. Some people I've met over the years are saying, you know what? We're not going to do the gifts at all. I've seen too many abuses. It's terrible. It's just so over-commercialized. It's terrible. It's nasty. And yes, I get there's an intense commercialization aspect to Advent. Pre-Christmas. That's Advent. And then to Christmas. Americans can certainly make an idol. That you want to talk about American idol? Americans can certainly make an idol out of that which may be consumed and that which pertains to the consumer. We're surrounded by it. We need to navigate biblically. Some then will not just throw the baby out with the bathwater. They will seem to throw Christ out of any form of the commerce or the marketplace out there, down the street. They will throw the gifts out with the glut. I'll have none of that glut, so the gifts must go too. There are economic problems, i.e. Lasswell and Thomas Sowell, the provision of goods and services. There are issues with that. And so some people think there can be no Christmas without the gifts. Other people think that there is no Christmas with the gifts. From 1966, there was a television short that has been published and modified repeatedly. 1966, it first came onto our television screens, those of us who had televisions, and the horizontal hold was not that. It didn't hold. Black and white, it was about a Grinch who stole Christmas. And the Grinch was astonished that Christmas could still be celebrated in Whoville when the gifts were gone and the trees were gone and the decorations were gone. And some people's heart, which was not three sizes too small, some people's heart said, yes, the Grinch has got it. The Grinch said, how could it be so? How can they celebrate? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. Soon the narrator, 1966, voiced over. He puzzled and puzzled till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And then he returned the gifts. So some people are applauding from this side of the stadium saying, yes, that's exactly right. There is something to Christmas without the gifts. And then he returns the gifts. Why? In a little cartoon that has been remade and often read. And some Christians are, ooh, I don't know if I want to read that. That guy's so green. Is it possible to go too far in the no gift direction? Truly, of a truth, in one sense, the reality of Advent and Christmas is not in gifts given and received. Let it be clear. Yet, and this, I hope, is a biblically informed yet, in another sense, The promise of Advent and the fulfillment of Christmas is all about giving and receiving. Are we too simple in our reject or receive? Reject everything or receive everything? Advent and Christmas is all about God's giving and our receiving. What does that look like when we take every thought captive? What does it look like when Christ is coursing through our veins and His Word marks our steps? Our text today in Isaiah 9:6, promised long ago, fulfilled in the most astonishing of ways, more than 400 years before the second person of the Godhead showed up in Mary's womb and then into a manger of sorts. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Wait a minute, Isaiah. You said that so long ago as if it was a present reality. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Let's wait for 400 years. The giving and the receiving of gifts is something which is woven into the very fabric. Isaiah knew this. There's a son to be born, a child to be given, and the darkness was to be increasingly lifted and dispersed. The giving and the receiving of gifts is something which is woven into the very fabric, the warp and the woof of our Christian culture. It's found in our history and in our literature. It's part of our culture. Christians are those who have received gifts and still receive gifts, and we therefore give gifts, sometimes of the wrapped variety, sometimes of a different stripe. What about the practice of the historic figure Saint Nicholas? The historic practice, the care for the poor, that man's daughters and their wedding. A gift given in secret. It's a fascinating tradition. What about O. Henry's, the gift of the Magi? There, that husband so loved his bride that they gave their all. And it's read out loud and we weep. Where did that come from? And why did O. Henry name it the gift of the Magi? Oh, I have shared this before, but I'd like to read a bit now. The story begins this way. Marley was dead to begin with. There was no doubt about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon change for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. So the Christmas Carol opens with a reference to Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, but his name in Hebrew is this: Ebenezer. Ebenezer. Eben, stone. Netzer, hope. Stone of hope. And his name begins with stone and ends with hope. And Dickens knew this. So as you follow the story through, you begin to find this Christian story of that which was hard being made soft, that which was dead being made alive, that which was dark being made bright. Ebenezer, Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh, of Scrooge. He was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, Scrooge, a squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner, hard and sharp as flint. Ebon, the stone, from which no steel had ever struck out generous fire, secret and self-contained and solitary as an oyster. Some kind of spirit exchange, some kind of repentance. And whether or not you want to get fogged with the details, a transformation occurred. And the story ends. Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other good old city, town, borough, in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the change in Scrooge, and he didn't care. And of course, it was said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well, if any man alive possessed the knowledge. May that be truly said of us, and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. God bless us. Do we dare ask the Lord to give us blessing? Or do we dare return thanks for the blessings He has already given? Why is there this exchange? My soul, bless the Lord and forget none of His benefits. Ebenezer. Oh, I love the way Peter Lighthart recently phrased this. But first, I must ask you a question. What is gratitude? You've come from tables, both full or full and sparse. What is gratitude? It is the giving of thanks. Why do you give thanks? Why do you give anything? I love the way Peter Lighthart has phrased this recently. Hear this. Gratitude is the form of our knowing. We do not follow Descartes in saying, I think, therefore I am. Rather, I think, therefore I am. We know God as Creator when we know that He is the giver of gifts. We know God only when we are grateful. And gratitude is the form of our obedience. God's gifts call us to take up His work, and we show our thankfulness by lives given wholly to His service. When we are ungrateful, when we complain and are discontented with God's goodness, we deny God and ourselves. Ingratitude is a denial that God is giver and that we live and have our being by His gifts. Well stated. So Christians, our Advent meditation is this. Let us consider our God and His interpretation of reality. And so let's begin elsewhere, where we began earlier today. What is the manner in which the Lord has dealt with your sins? Wait. Or in the way that you deal with one another's sins. Because sins keep popping up here. How did our Lord deal with your sins? He forgave you. Wonderful English word, beautifully crafted. He forgave us. And how do you deal with sins of friend, spouse, sibling? Forgiveness. This is grace. This is wondrous grace, grace giving. Our God is a gift-giving God, and He does so according to His means and His ability. A gift-giving God. So rather than raw secularism or strident commercialism, perhaps there's a consideration that we may in some way give gifts Christianly according to our means, according to the unexpectedness of it, according to the astonishment of it, but always to the glory of God and gratitude for His givenness to us. Listen. At the beginning, we've mentioned that the Lord God gave a menu and marriage. The Lord God gave a menu. All the trees I have given to you. All of the trees. These trees are for you. Eat. They're full of fruit. Eat. Oh, except for this one, for this time. Don't eat that one. Because our Lord is concerned about trees. Because there was going to be a singular tree in the future upon which the last Adam hung. The gift of God Himself. Don't eat of that tree yet. A maturity will occur. God gave all the trees. Every herb was given. Herbs were given. Take and eat. The Lord gave comments, directives, commands. And by the way, the psalmist says they're better than gold, which we would say, that's a great gift. But the psalmist says, no, the Lord's testimonies are sure. His precepts are wondrous. His commands, they're better than gold, better than fine gold. The Lord's commands, be fruitful and multiply. Have dominion over the earth. Care for the earth. Tend to the garden. That's a great gift. Work. So get to work. Oh, yes, and work was given to Adam and Eve, both man and woman. Get to work together in the garden. Beautify, tend, cultivate. Man and woman, get to work. And then you know what happened? Our first parents sinned in the reception of gifts. And did the Lord then say, no, more gifts? No, the Lord God gave clothing to His image bearers. He wrapped them, also pointing forward to Christ. For we must be wrapped in the righteousness of Christ. We must be wrapped from something that is given to us. Gifts, a wonderful biblical, a giftology. And by the way, all of life is a gift. Earlier I read Psalm 104. The donkeys, the birds, the earth brings forth. Oh, it's wonderful. First Corinthians 4:7. Here's a question Paul asked. So everyone needs to hear this question and then answer it. Don't answer it out loud yet. What do you have that you did not receive? What do you have that you did not receive? I was given biblical theology by my parents. You entered this world naked. Son, naked. 2 months of old, pneumonia. You entered this world, we thought we were going to lose you. What do you have that you did not receive? James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow, a hint of turning. Matthew 6, Jesus says, I want you to stop and look at the lilies. Just look out over the field. Did you plant those lilies? You're all concerned about your clothing. What do you have that you did not receive? Look at the lilies. What, were they out there? Got to get to work. We need to spun some more gold. Get going. Oh, look at the birds. You find them grousing about their diet? What do you have that you did not receive? It's all a gift. We are a gifted, blessed people. You are wondrously gifted. Yes, we're gifted to be here. Do you know that your work, whatever your work may be, in the home, out of the home, in the marketplace, or in some other private place, your work is a gift from God. Hear it again. From Ecclesiastes. Everyone should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. This is the gift of God. And as for every man to whom God has given riches and wealth and given him power to eat of it, if you can even lift your hand to receive his heritage and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. That's Ecclesiastes 3:13 and Ecclesiastes 5:19. So we conclude today. The Holy Spirit, God's presence among us is considered a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is actually a gift-giving spirit. There are gifts of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, just as Adam and Eve abused the gifts of God, oftentimes the church abuses the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Ministers in the church and leaders in the church and servants in the church are considered gifts. to Mary a son was given, our gospel lesson today, and Mary was astonished. Astonished. How can this be? The Lord has given you this son. I don't know a man, she'll say. The Lord is giving you this child. Unto us a son is given. Is it any wonder then that the Magi came bearing gifts? Gifts. Gifts. Oh, and what about these wondrous words in 2 Corinthians 9? After an entire passage of, you know what, this congregation cared for this congregation, even as we're doing here. Gifts have been given. They're not the tithes. They're just above and beyond gifts. Paul commends the church for their gift for the other saints in Jerusalem. And then he ends with this. They're actually giving gifts according to the way God blessed them. Some people think, well, that's non-Christian. How can that be? This is how 2 Corinthians 9 ends. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. I can't even put the words of what God has done. I can't put it into words. I'm going to stammer. I'm going to go Ezekiel on you. It was like, and then it was like unto this, and then I don't know what else to say. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift, His Son. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and we have been given life through His Son. May we together have a biblically informed view of gifts, because our God is a giving God. I offer this to you in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, do enable us to reflect Your glory and Your likeness as we interact with one another. For we have received Your grace, may we display Your grace. We have received Your forgiveness, may we display Your forgiveness. Father, You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, and this in Christ Jesus. May we show that we are Your children, truly citizens of Your kingdom, by how we act and think and behave. We pray all of this through Jesus, truly an indescribable gift, praying in His name. And all of God's children said,